Dave and Dujanovic.
I'm going to hand control of my dating app over to my favorite co-host in the whole wide world, Dave Noriega.
All right. Finally, some power.
I've been reading up a lot of coverage lately about dating apps, and it just seems like they are massively on the decline. And as the only user in this room of dating apps, I think I'm qualified to tell you why, although you might have a different opinion or somebody else out there. But Bumble alone is announcing employee cuts, profits, something like there's been a $32 million net loss. They're going to cut the workforce by 30% to make it up. That's according to a site called TechCrunch. New York Times has done coverage on this. Time Magazine has done coverage on it. Dave does not use dating apps. So anything he says here, take it with a grain of salt.
I never used it. I was like already married.
But so you did say if you had used them.
I would have dominated the dating app world. I would have been amazing at it.
That's where I wanted you to come out hot on. I mean, it's like you've said that a million times on this show and behind the scenes. If I were on dating apps back in the day, if they were a thing, I would have absolutely dominated.
Okay, number one, you're texting. I'm a great texter. I'm fantastic.
I can't get you to text me back for hours.
That's not true. I am a great texter, and maybe even if it's not
work related,
speedy, it's clever, and clever always plays well. So, I know Photoshop like the back of my hand, so I would make that profile pic look amazing. I'll make myself look like.
So when you
a supermodel.
So when you show up in person, you don't look anything like your photos?
Listen.
That would be weird.
I would change it just enough. I would change it enough to be interesting, but you're like, that's still the same person.
One of the reasons that dating apps are struggling, according to different news organizations, is because people are unwilling to upgrade to the paid version of the dating app. So what you might not know about dating apps, and there's a ton of them out there. There's Bumble, there's Hinge, there's Tinder, there's Match. Is that still a thing, or is that just where older adults like myself? I'm not on Match, but Match. There's so many other. They all try to come up with a new
Mutual. That's mutual, a popular.
That's
one
right. Here. That's yep. A very popular one here. For a new fangled approach, like Bumble's big thing is, well, women get to select. They get the ones that decide whether to swipe. So, you know, I can swipe on a guy or not, or I can swipe left, and then he's off my page altogether.
Okay.
I might never see him again, although I found that that's not necessarily true. They kind of come back around. If you swipe right, you've expressed interest. But if you upgrade, you get more features. And I don't know what the fees are, but I seem to remember I upgraded a couple of times. It was like $11 a month or something like that.
That's reasonable,
no,
right?
No, it's not.
That's not reasonable?
No, because you're just
You won't spend
gambling.
$11 on an app, but you'll go like $16 for Netflix?
No.
And you watch one series the entire year?
I will go years single as opposed to spend 11 bucks a month to find the perfect match. But I think there's other reasons why these apps are failing. There's an oversaturation of options.
Okay.
And I find that the dating apps are so impersonal because you really are being introduced to a complete stranger.
Right.
You don't have any background on them at all. You don't know, you know, what they can tell you what they want to tell you. You don't know if that's the truth or not.
Yeah.
So when I've been on dating apps in the past and I go to meet somebody in person, it's not just that their photos don't match. That's the least of the issues. And usually, actually, I will say from my experience with men, their photos do match. Middle-aged men, you match your photos. Good job. Maybe men have more of a problem with women's photos not matching. I don't know. I don't date women, so I don't know how that works out. But from my point of view, yeah, I can point them out of a crowd when I show up for, you know, an initial coffee meetup or something. But what I find is that their backstories are so riddled with problems that they don't put any of that on the app. Right? They don't want to tell you that they've served time behind bars for 10 years.
Well, you don't want to lead with your worst moments,
your warts,
do you?
Right? But those are the deal breakers. So what I have found is that you can't really find out who somebody is. It's really hard when you're meeting somebody on a dating app to find out what their real story is, Dave. And I have just found that to be the case over and over and over again, to the point where I'm spinning my wheels on these things, that they're not even worth my time. I would much rather do something that I'm going to get something. It'd be like being on a hamster wheel all day long and never getting anywhere.
How is that different than just regular dating?
I don't know.
Where someone walks up to you and says, "Hey, my name's so-and-so. Yeah. Can I get your number?" How's that any different than the way I did it 25 years ago?
The crazy thing for me, well, first of all, I think later in life dating comes with a whole new set of challenges that I didn't experience in my 20s and you probably didn't experience. Like, somebody has decades of opportunity to totally royally screw up their lives by the time they hit 50, right?
They can only do so much damage by 22.
Right. They've been bankrupt a couple of times. Yeah. They haven't figured out their finances. And you're like, "Oh, you're a gold digger." Well, no, I just want somebody to match my vibe. Like, I don't want somebody that's $400,000 in credit card debt. You know, I can't deal with that. So how is it any different? I know for a fact I haven't had any luck getting set up either from friends. You know my stories. You know them better than anybody. And you know that I haven't had any luck with setups where sweet friends think that they've found me a match and then they set me up and I find out, oh, there's a whole, and they don't know. Yeah. They don't know the backstory either.
Right, because no one's leading with their worst moments.
And it takes a while to figure out who somebody is. And so, you know, at my age in life, where the runway is getting shorter, you know, in terms of trying to find somebody and figure out what they're all about and what they stand for and what their moral values are, it's just not worth it anymore. So I think that's why more and more people are not, or I think more single people are finding less interest in dating apps, because it's the spiral to nowhere. You end up nowhere and you've spent a lot of time and effort. I think there's just a lot of people who've experienced some of the, what I'll call, horror stories on dating apps. Mm-hmm. You know, where they meet somebody and they find out that they're still married. Huh? There's that. That's a horror story if you end up in the middle of a love triangle and you didn't realize you were part of the love triangle. There's people who have had significant bad decisions they've made in their past, you know, where they've, you know, been involved in criminal activity, drug dealing. I'm not, you know, talking about going and getting some CBD oil down the street. I'm talking about, like, literally being
real dangerous stuff. Right?
Yeah. Like selling hard drugs to people that kill them. You know, I'm just saying, like, they've served time for things. So I think there's just so many horror stories out there now, and they're getting around, and it's a lot easier for these horror stories to get around with like apps like TikTok and Facebook, where you're able to share your horror stories, that I think people are running from dating apps.
I wonder what, if it's running from dating apps or just running from dating in general.
That's a great point.
Because a lot of what you've said, I don't know if it's solved by face-to-face meetings or being set up. A lot of those problems that you just described, I don't think are unique to dating apps. The reason I think dating apps are good, and again, having no experience, but outside looking in, is you at least know somebody's looking. You know somebody is willing. You know, if you just go walk up to somebody, you know, at a restaurant, that would be... You have no idea what situation they're in.
That'd be super awkward.
Yeah. And like I'm married, I just don't wear a wedding ring or whatever the thing might be, but or I'm in a relationship. The great thing about a dating app is you at least know, at least on its face, that these are people that are interested and they're interested in dating.
Well, maybe this is the reason, too, why divorce is on the decline. You know what I mean? We're going to talk about that next. Divorce.
Because the alternative dating, not awesome.
Yeah. I mean, if you've... if you're talking to your single friends and you find out that they're in a disastrous situation and the single life trying to find a decent match, you're like, well, let's just get some intense therapy together. Or even if you move into separate homes for a while and you separate for a little bit and you work things out. But divorce is on the decline in the nation, and it piqued our interest so much, we thought, well, let's get our favorite divorce attorney, Todd Weiler, State Senator Todd Weiler, on the line to see what he sees in his own practice about, you know, divorce next.
Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
All right. Divorce rates are on the decline. That was the most surprising takeaway to me from this. And I'm glad to see this. Divorce is hard. It's expensive. It costs you half. It costs you half. It's, you know, so it's probably best if you can, at least financially and hopefully emotionally, to work through a marriage and stay together.
I had forgotten this until this morning. But my mom tells a story that on her wedding day, my dad, as they're driving away, turns to her and said, "Don't ever ask for a divorce. I will never give you one." And she looks at him like, that's quite something to say to a bride on her wedding day. But my dad had gone through a divorce, and it was kind of an ugly divorce when he was a kid. And it had left such an impact on him. He felt, for some reason, that was the appropriate time to let my mom know that we are going to work through anything.
So I just was, so it was your grandparents
on
your dad's side that got divorced.
Yeah.
I don't want to ask you why, but I am curious. Maybe you want to tell us off the air. I am always curious as to what drives divorce.
Grandpa was pretty wild.
Well, that sums it up. I am curious. I mean, I don't want to nose in anybody else's business, and I know what caused, you know, my own divorce, and it's hard. It's difficult to go through a divorce. But sometimes it's more difficult to stay married. And I want to ask, he's a state senator, that is his part-time gig, but his full-time job is what do they call you? They don't call you a divorce attorney, do they, Todd? That sounds so abrupt.
Thanks, Debbie. I am an attorney, and I do divorces. I do a lot more than divorces, but I do a lot of family law. But I'm also do business divorces, like with two LLC partners who are splitting up.
I see. Oh, so it's like a divorce in business. Okay, so you're
business divorce.
Okay, attorney Todd Weiler live on the line with us right now to talk about, you know, so while divorces going down, marriages are on the upswing. So it does sound like people are trying to, you know, stay connected through matrimony. What are you seeing in your practice when people are coming to you for a divorce?
Well, I mean, my practice doesn't reflect like statewide trends.
I know.
So I have plenty of people calling me. I did have a first last month, earlier this month, and that is one of my clients called and said, "You know what? We're going to try to work it out. Will you dismiss the divorce filing?" And I did. I was happy to do that. But
nice.
That's so unusual. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. But, you know, Debbie, I think, you know, there are so many benefits to being married. But can I just tell you one? I talked to a guy last week, and he had been with his partner for 21 years. They had three kids together, and they never got married. And now he wants to divide up the debt, and she's like, "No, that debt's all in your name, and it's not marital debt because they were never married." So I will tell you, when couples split up, if they weren't married, it can be a hardship not being married, just because the divorce laws generally kind of split everything 50-50, debt and assets. And so with this guy that called me, his girlfriend, 21-year girlfriend, is probably going to get half the equity in the house, but maybe not get stuck with the debts because they were never married, but her name is on the deed. So marriage also can protect you in a divorce, as ironic as that sounds.
That was a wild turn of events. I did not see that happening. Help walk us through. As you meet with people, I'm sure they usually come to you in a dark time. What is your sales pitch, so to speak, like your reality check to folks that sit down and say,
"Dave, I never push anyone into a divorce. I have clients. I have talked several men into staying married once I've painted the bleak picture of alimony and child support and half of their assets. I'm honest about that. And I've had people come to me and they have questions and they come back 6 or 12 months later and decide to file. But a lot of people, when they first come to me, they just want to get some questions answered. And they've heard things from friends, some of which is true, some of which isn't true. But I never push anyone into divorce because that's not my job. My job is to help people kind of get through their obstacles in their lives, but I don't try to push anybody in any one direction.
Do you get a sense though, anecdotally, Todd, about what the main reason is for divorce?
There are some themes like money. It's probably less intimacy than you would expect, but okay. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes it's pornography use. But usually it's more than one thing. Usually there's a lot of people can tolerate a few mistakes or weaknesses, but usually there is kind of one culminating event. It might be, an outburst, or sometimes it's stepkids, if it's a second marriage for one or both of them, that can be really hard. It's not usually the mother-in-law, but usually the mother-in-law is piling on when there are problems. Often I hear that. But, one of the interesting things, Debbie, is I'm surprised, sometimes when I'm dealing with people going through divorce, one of them has had an affair, but that wasn't the reason for the divorce. Like the affair was 10 years ago and they got through that. But now there's a different reason for the divorce. But, some people do get divorced because of infidelity, but I'm surprised at how many couples can work through infidelity if there's a willingness there to repair the relationship. That's often successful.
Interesting, because that would be the deal breaker for me. I mean, yeah. It just would be. I don't think I could ever get through that. I haven't been faced with that. So maybe if I were, I'd be stronger and be able to get through it. That's interesting, Todd.
There's a guy at BYU named Brad Wilcox, but then there's another Brad Wilcox back in Virginia who just publishes books a lot and is on the radio a lot about the benefits of marriage. I got to meet him in January, and there are so many benefits of being married and staying married. I'm a member of the Utah Marriage Commission, and we just celebrated our anniversary this year. But you can Google Utah Marriage Commission. We have some podcasts that are for free. I just want to say most marriages are worth saving, and most people 5 years after a divorce are less happy than they were in the marriage, and that's reported by CNN. Which some people think, oh, if I get divorced, all of my problems will go away. But in many cases, they're just trading one set of problems for a different set of problems. And divorce often leads to bankruptcy, because if people were struggling with one household, now after divorce, you've got the same total amount of money minus attorney's fees, but now you're trying to support two households, two gas bills, two mortgages or rent payments, et cetera. And often that just doesn't work.
Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Attorney Todd Weiler.
Yeah, Todd, I want to have you back on the air in the next week or so, because I do want you to walk us through the benefits of being married. Like, what are they really finding through research about the benefits of being married?
Utah Marriage Commission, Deb. Mm-hmm. I learned about that. I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I want to know. And it doesn't always happen. He mentioned some financial benefits of being married, but I'd like to know more about that. Straight ahead, Boeing, big shakeup at Boeing today. Not a big surprise, but certainly a big shakeup. We're going to tell you what that is. I want you to think about this. This could be a big reason why. When you think about Boeing now, what do you think about, Dave?
Planes blown apart, or at least a chunk of it.